Nam
Prakashayati Bharata. Translation. O son of Bharata, as the sun alone illuminates all this universe, so that the living entity, one within the body, illuminate the entire body by consciousness. We may not be able to see the sun during the day, like for instance today when it is cloudy. But by the light, the presence of the light, we know positively that there is a sun. Now I must just see. Do you all, is it good, the translation? No? Not loud enough? So, Gauranga? Bolite habe? Is it now better? Yeah? Now it is alright? Mauje? Good. So let us start again. The simple example here is the example of the sun who is present in the universe by the light of the sunshine. We may not be able to see the sun like today. It is not possible since it is a cloudy day. But by the presence of the light we can positively conclude there must be a sun. In the same way, it may be sometimes not possible for us to see the soul directly. But by the presence of consciousness, which pervades the whole body, we can understand that there must be a soul. Why? See, it's a very simple example. At the time of death, when the soul leaves the body, consciousness is also no longer present in the body. So this consciousness in the material life becomes influenced by the three modes of material nature, and therefore we act in conditioned ways. Today at 2 o'clock we were starting our seminars on the three modes of material nature and their effect on the consciousness of the conditioned soul. But because many of you could not attend this seminar, I want to just give you a little summary what we have talked about so that you can easily follow in follow this lecture, which will also be a lecture on the three modes of material nature. You might wonder why we are speaking on the three modes of material nature. Well, the answer to this question is that anyone who understands this knowledge will understand the perfection of knowledge, because he will understand how he is conditioned in this material existence, how he is bound, and how he can free himself from the bondage of illusion. So the three modes of material nature are ignorance, passion, and goodness, and they can be compared with different colors which when mixed make a whole picture or a painting. In the same way, the three modes are responsible for the material creation in its different aspects, like landscapes, people, different world views, different foodstuffs, and hatred, love, anger, feelings like this. These modes we were explaining this afternoon at 2 o'clock work also like ropes, in that they bind a conditioned soul and force him to act in a specific way. To give you a little insight, for instance, actions which are performed under the influence of ignorance, they result in foolishness. But thus activities which do not bring a good or favorable result, those actions which are performed in the mode of passion, they result in misery. Because one is always restless, and so on and so forth. And those actions which are pure, they are in the mode of goodness. Now the product is, when you are acting in the mode of ignorance, foolishness is a result, but also sometimes madness and illusion. You deceive yourself. When you act in the mode of passion, greed develops. You want more and more and more and more and cannot be satisfied. And when you act in the mode of goodness, real knowledge develops. So you can understand from just this little glimpse into the modes and their effect on the consciousness, how important it is for someone under the who is going on the spiritual path to avoid the mode of ignorance and passion, and develop the mode of goodness. Goodness is a stepping stone to transcendence. Someone who acts in the mode of goodness, he acts on the platform of of knowledge, and his activities bring him to transcendence, to pure spiritual life. And because he is free from attachment, from fear, and also from anger, such a devotee can easily develop love for Krishna. So the mode of goodness, although it is certainly a material state of being, is a stepping stone to transcendence, also spiritual things. The mode, I was talking to a few devotees after my seminar, and in order to make it a little bit clear what a mode of nature is, I heard a very nice example which I want to bring to your attention. Many of you might have, I see not so many of you have wristwatches, but I think every one of you knows this modern type of wristwatch produced in Japan or America, which can do different things. Like, if you press one button, this wristwatch tells you the time. 4 minutes past eight. If you press another box, another thing, another point, you do an alarm. It goes, you know, then this is the alarm. You press another button, it tells you the telephone number of the Priyatelya. You know, in other words, the same thing can act in different functions, the wristwatch. In the same way, the material energy, which is called Maya, can act in different functions. It can make you very sleepy and very ignorant, but it can also make you very active. It can also make you quite happy. That is goodness. So the modes of nature are really different functions of the material energy. Now, this was like a short, very brief summary of what we have discussed yesterday at 2 o'clock. No, I'm sorry, I will. Today at 2 o'clock. We will now continue with our seminar, and you are wholeheartedly invited to give us your full attention, because today we will talk a little bit how we can use the modes of nature to become free from material influence. That will be the discussion today. If you are interested, I just wanted to say, to follow the whole seminar, there are two variante, two possibilities. One is, you could please come tomorrow at around 7:30 here to the temple when we have the lecture. Or you could, that's the first lecture, and then the second lecture is at 2 o'clock in the noontime. And then the third lecture tomorrow, which is also the end of my stay here in Beograd, will be in the evening. In that evening program, we are glad to announce our dramatic troupe, Chintamani, with different stars from the field of theater and temple life. They will attend, they will perform a theater play. They're practicing already. And it will be quite an interesting play. So if you cannot make it for tomorrow morning or tomorrow at noontime, please do come at least in the evening if your time allows it, and participate in our Transcendental Evening program. Good. So now let us continue. Let's see, find this. Yes, here we go. So, these modes of material nature exist as objective reality outside of us. Yes? In that all states of being are manifested by these modes of material nature. But what is even more interesting for us as people who are interested to follow a spiritual path is that these modes of nature also manifest within the mind. This is not very difficult to explain. For instance, you all exist as an objective reality outside of me. Isn't it? I see Atma B. But you also exist now within my Umo. Uma. Umotsky. I'm closing my eyes, but I have a picture of this room in my mind. Now I'm having the eyes open in my eyes. I see Atma B. It's a special Serbian look in the eyes. Very sympathetic look. Sympathiska. And I see also so many other things. I see, for instance, a little girl with the red trousers there, who's always looking somewhere else. Dobrodošli. So, there is an objective reality which becomes filtered through my perception into my mind, and my mind makes something out of it. For instance, and this becomes what we call a subjective reality. For instance, a drunkard, he sees the bottle of whiskey, and in his mind, now the whiskey is an objective reality, right? And in it, but in his mind, he makes a subjective reality out of it. He thinks, oh, whiskey is very healthy. It makes me very energetic. It's good for my imagination and creativity. And in this way, he has certain assumptions or understanding of whiskey. Because he is in the mode of ignorance, he thinks whiskey is good for him, although he had already a liver operation and won't most probably live another year if he continues to drink like that. Or a capitalist. Capitalist? You know these kind of people? There is money outside, but because the capitalist is influenced by the mode of passion, which results in very much in greed. Yes? He thinks, I must have as much money as possible so that I can buy as many things as possible so that the end result will be happiness. It's not a fact. If you have so many things, if you work so hard for so many things, that's not a guarantee for happiness, isn't it? Happiness is an internal state which is not dependent on the amount of things which you accumulate around yourself. But because he's in the mode of passion, his mind is passionately influenced, therefore he runs after the money. This is subjective reality. Now, a good man, a man in the mode of goodness, he thinks differently from the man in the mode of ignorance and passion. He thinks, oh, let me have as little as possible. Then I don't have to work so hard for the things. Finally, and then I don't have to maintain all these things. Then I'm not sad when I lose them. Do you follow? So this is a different. In other words, what I want to say is that the modes of material nature, ignorance, passion, and goodness, manifest within the mind. Krishna Kaje. Srinivas, number 10. Huh? O gentle Uddhava, all these different phases of conditioned life arise from work born of the modes of material nature. The living entity who conquers these modes, manifested from the mind, can dedicate himself to me by the process of devotional service and thus attain pure love for me. You understand these modes, in other words, become a subjective reality, and in this way they influence your thought. If you are influenced by the mode of ignorance, you cannot at all have anything to do with philosophy. It just bores you, you go to sleep, and you become angry if you hear too much of it. There is a description, when you give milk, good pure cow milk, to a snake, it will produce poison and become very aggressive. That has nothing to do with the milk, that has to do with the digestive system or whatever of the snake. So someone who is controlled, he will look at the world with a different eye. You know, there is an interesting story of two genies who were in the mode of ignorance. They were fisher ladies who were fishing, and one day they went on a journey and came to one village when the night was falling in. So they were coming to this one man saying, my dear so and so, we are tired, can we sleep for the night in this village? The man said, I can't offer you a place in my house, but I have a flower shop. You can sleep in the flower shop. It is also very nice aroma. So the two fisher ladies went into the flower shop. It smells very uncommon here, they said, because they were used to the smell of rotten fish. Have you ever met fisher people on the ocean and been in the houses? Just go like, you smell so intense, you just want to run out behind the bushes, you know, it's so intense. So they were influenced by the mode of tamagun. Tamagun means ignorance. And therefore what they did is they went down to the river, found a few dead fishes, and smeared the fishes all over the flower shop so that the proper smell was there. Then only they could go to sleep. Inside the mind. Mm-hmm. So, this is the first point. The modes manifest, in other words, into the mind and condition you to a certain thinking. Now, one thing is, in the 11th, there is a very interesting point which is made in the Srimad Bhagavatam. The Vedic knowledge is meant to elevate us from the lower modes to the mode of goodness. I'm reading, Srinivas, I'm reading for your information, the Vedas are meant to elevate. It's the last point before symptoms of bhakti mixed with the three modes, okay? The Vedas are meant to elevate one from the mode of ignorance to the platform of goodness. When one is situated in the mode of goodness, he is able to understand knowledge of the self or transcendental knowledge. Prabhupada Kaji, the nature of a person can be changed if one associates with a bona fide spiritual master and abides by his rules and the scriptures. Gradually, one can change his position from ignorance to goodness, or from passion to goodness. The conclusion is that blind faith in a particular mode of nature cannot help a person become elevated to the perfectional stage. One has to consider things carefully with intelligence in the association of a bona fide spiritual master. Thus, one can change his position to a higher mode of nature. In other words, sit down, Dauji. In other words, by association, you can develop a certain mode, and in this way, you become you have your existence. If people would only understand this, it is very, 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 10 times the word, very important that we know this point of association. If we go to places, for instance, where people drink alcohol, after some time we will be influenced by the mode of ignorance. If we go and look at videos the whole day of fighting, war, television, read the newspaper, Hiroshima's Kaja, Helmut Kohl Kaja, you know, we will be influenced by the mode of passion and continue the dream of material existence. We have to associate mostly, if we want to elevate ourselves, with a spiritual minded people, sadhu sangha, And in that association, become free from the influence of the lower modes of material nature. You all have noticed already, when you come from Beograd into our temple here in Šuštendilska, something happens with your consciousness. After a solid evening of kirtan, this is music, and the philosophy, you leave spiritually refreshed, and when you come then into the material world called Beograd, you do not easily become influenced by the passionate city life. Have you noticed this? But after some time, because you are in contact with these powerful energies, material energies, your let us say good consciousness becomes run down, and as a result you feel hectic, you feel agitated maybe, and even frustrated, and you suffer even a little bit. So therefore a sane person must understand in his life that the association is very important. But this is not only people. The modes are not only manifesting in these three types which I just gave, the drunkard, the capitalist, or the good man. These are just some examples. They manifest in places. They manifest in books, literature, art. Everywhere they are. Madam Gopal looks very full of strach now. If you do not no reason to have strach, Madam Gopal, don't look so strachful. If you know how to associate with devotees, if you know how to behave at spiritual places like the temple, if you know how to read transcendental literature, you can be made immune against the influence. Srila Prabhupada once gave us an example. When you go into a place where there is the danger of becoming infected by a disease, you have to make preparations before you go. For instance, if there is a fever-infected area, you have to drink a lot of juices with vitamin C so that you become strong and immune. So now I want to go on, but let me first see if you have some questions regarding this point or these points which I have made, so that I can go on and make another point. Is everything clear to you? Can you follow? Okay. Dauji? No, Dauji is too young. Devotional service, that's Krishna conscious activity, is also sometimes influenced by the three modes of material nature. Now it gets very self-analytical. Now we will get the mirror out so that you can see yourself in the mirror and become educated. Are you ready, Sudarshan? It will be shocking, what you see. No problem. First, it will be a little philosophical, so please concentrate your umas, so that you can understand everything and benefit from it. Yes, please. Srinivas, number 13. I have to... I have anyone here who does not know what chanting of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra on the meditational beads, what that is, maybe I have to explain it. Every one of you knows what is the japa of the... how do you say here in this area? Japa Hare Krishna? Japa Hare Krishna. So, yes? Okay. Then you all, maybe you are chanting everyone. Have you noticed that sometimes you see different devotees chanting differently the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra? Early in the morning, for instance, you can see this type of chanting. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Have you seen this? Or sometimes you see a different kind of chanting. Someone gets out his bebek and goes, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Machine gun chanting. Have you seen this? It's also in Beograd?
Oh, yes.
Yeah?
Yes.
Everywhere. Or sometimes you see another type of chanting. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Ram, 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 Ram. Have you seen this? Where someone just begins to read. Or, because Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna, Krishna. You've seen this? Yeah? It is, why are you laughing? It is actually very sad. So, Prabhupada says, devotional service in the modes of ignorance, passion and goodness can be divided into 81 categories. There are different devotional activities such as hearing, chanting, remembering, worshipping, offering prayer, rendering service and surrendering everything. And each of them can be divided into 3 qualitative categories. There's hearing in the mode of passion, in the mode of ignorance, and in the mode of goodness. Similarly, there's chanting in the mode of ignorance, passion, and goodness. 3 multiplied by 9 equals 27, and then again multiplied by 3, it becomes 81. One has to transcend all such mixed materialistic devotional service in order to reach the standard of pure devotional service as explained in the next verse. So, this devotional service or spiritual life, when it becomes influenced by the modes of goodness, modes of material nature, it is a means, Prabhupada says, for material existence. In other words, such type of transcendental activity, where you become influenced again by the different modes of material nature, cannot bring you to the transcendental platform of Krishna consciousness. In other words, if you chant in the mode of ignorance for a whole life, you won't become a pure devotee and will not return back home, back to Krishna. Therefore, we will now talk a little bit on how devotional service in the different modes of material nature manifest, so that we know our mistakes. This is called the mirror system. And then in later lectures, we will talk on how to come to the liberated platform. Okay? Devotional... see what? Number 14. Devotional service executed by a person who is envious, proud, violent and angry. And who is a separatist is considered to be in the mode of darkness. This is a dark devotee. Let us understand how this devotee in the mode of ignorance looks like, what he does. One who approaches the Supreme Lord, that is us, to render devotional service, but who is proud of his personality, envious of others, or vengeful, is in the mode of anger. He thinks that he is the best devotee. Devotional service executed in this way is not pure, it is mixed, and it is of the lowest grade, tamasa. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur advises us that a Vaishnava who is not of good character should be avoided. A Vaishnava is one who has taken the Supreme Personality of Godhead as the ultimate goal of life, but if one is not pure and still has motives, then he is not a Vaishnava of the first order of good character. One may offer his respects to such a Vaishnava because he has accepted the Supreme Lord as the ultimate goal of life, but one should not keep company with a Vaishnava who is in the mode of ignorance. See, such a Vaishnava becomes unhappy if others do more, have more success in spiritual life, easily envious of others. And often he is very proud. He thinks, I'm the best Midanga player. There are others who can also play some beats, but they don't have the timing which I have. When such a Vaishnava he is critiqued that others want to help him, oh, my dragi bhakta, you eat too much. He becomes very angry. Who are you to tell me? I am 10 days longer in the movement than you. Such a Vaishnava is called a separatist. Now this word is important. Srinivas, what is separatist? Separatist, oh, easy. It means he has a separate interest than the interest of Krishna. He wants to be praised and he wants to be glorious. Such a Vaishnava has difficulties to live with other Vaishnavas. He always wants his own arrangement, separate arrangement. Separate prasadam, separate bed. I mean, we have separate beds. In separate rooms, I mean. He must have separate beds, I mean. He needs separate because he feels very special. It's not that he's very special. He's a fallen soul, that's all. Okay, now we come to the Vaishnava who is influenced by the mode of passion. Do you want to hear about this or is it too heavy for you? It's all right? Good. The worship of the deities in the temple by a separatist with a motive for material enjoyment, fame and opulence is devotion in the mode of passion. I will read to you from the purport. Now, maybe just to explain it a little bit. Sometimes you find
so-called devotees who live in the temple because they think it's a good place for eating. Three meals a day keeps Maya away. They think in the, it's so much work in the material world, but here, if I'm clever, I don't need to work so much. No one steps on my toes. I get a very avant-gardistic dress, a dhoti and a sari. Looks very progressive. Living in a big house, and there is a Nityananda grupa sometimes, so on and so forth. So he lives really in the temple not for service but for enjoyment. He wants to just have it. I'm reading you from the purport. When the devotee has an interest or will different from the interest of the Supreme Lord, his mentality is that of a separatist. When the so-called devotee desires material enjoyment without reference to the interest of the Supreme Lord, or he wants to become famous or opulent by utilizing the mercy or grace of the Supreme Lord, he is in the mode of passion. See, such a devotee is not satisfied to be just a devotee. He wants to be famous as a devotee. He wants to be glorious. He wants that others praise him. Svaglavis te sve te 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 or te ta. All glories to you. Tevi, acha. Sa slava tebi. Može? Now you might ask yourself the question, what is the difference between a devotee in the mode of ignorance and a devotee in the mode of passion? Both have been called separatists because they have a separate interest from the interest of the Lord. Is that a good question? The answer to this question is, a devotee in the mode of ignorance, who is influenced by the mode of ignorance, he cannot live together with other devotees. He always quarrels. And he always feels just so bad with them. You know, he wants to live outside of the temple. These devotees in the temple, this is the last step. They are not advanced enough to understand sva glave te, no, sva slave te moi. mene, they don't understand this important principle, sva slave mene. And therefore their conclusion is, let me leave these people. Now the devotee in the mode of passion, he keeps his things inside. He is not so much outside, you know. The ignorant devotee will just talk nonsense, talk and pick quarrels. But the devotee who is in the mode of passion, he just thinks about this. And therefore he always suffers. Why don't they glorify me? He thinks about it. He doesn't say, I'm a bee, say something good about me. You know, he doesn't say this, but he thinks it. And therefore he's always miserable. Why don't they do that? Life could be so easy. You know, you follow what I want to say. This is the difference. Okay, Prabhus. Enough of the mirror. Let us now hear what a devotee does when he is influenced by the mode of goodness. When a devotee worships the Supreme Personal... Srinivas, are you with us? not too dark in the room, or not too dark in the room, or
We always have to see that our translator is, you know, Dr. Srinivas.
Afraid of the dark.
We have to just take care of him. So, number 15. When a devotee worships the Supreme Personality of Godhead and offers the results of his activities in order to free himself from the inhibitories of fruitive activities, his devotion is in the mode of goodness. Let me explain clearly what this means. When someone comes to the temple or comes to spiritual life with the interest, I had enough of this material world called Beograd, or you know, whatever, wherever you are, Hamburg or Berlin, I just had enough of it all. I want now happiness. I want to be liberated from the pangs, from the miseries of my material existence. That's why I practice Krishna consciousness. That's in the mode of goodness. You're influenced by the mode of goodness. Now, many devotees who come to the temple, they are influenced by this. They just want liberation, moksha. Oh, we don't need no education. Let me go into the temple. You know, or it's so heavy, you know. My girlfriend is just too much. She always wants to control me like Tito. You know, she thinks she is Tito, you know. Anyways, I'm sorry if I have hurt some political feelings. You know, like a boss, you know. She always wants to boss me around. Let me go into the temple. Or you know, things like this, you know. Oh, Maika and Tata, very heavy, Maika and Tata. I want to run away to the temple. This is, it's still, you have not understood what, someone who thinks like this has not yet understood what is spiritual life. He is still separate. You don't go to the temple because you want to escape a difficult situation. The reason why one goes to the temple is what? One wants to serve Krishna. One wants to become Krishna consciousness, conscious, not conscious about other things. The devotees, when I came to the temple, I had attempted to make a school reform in Hamburg. That's a place in North Germany. Hamburgo. Hamburgo, right? Hamburgo. I wanted to make a school reform. My idea was that the teachers should not have so much say, but the pupils should also, you know, say what subjects are of interest for their lives, and so on. It's called Schüler Mitbestimmung. That means, what does this mean? It's a German word. You know that pupils can also determine what is being taught in the school, what subjects are there, and you, so on and so forth. And I went very far in this revolution. I made a rat in the school, four in the school, because I just thought this is not a good educational system. One must teach things which are of interest to the pupils in order to enthuse them. That was an idea. And the devotees told me, when I came to the temple, all what I talked about is the school system, which I didn't think was very good. And I always desired to leave the school and go in the temple. But Prabhupada told Prabhupada Kajit, no, to go to the school. So I went to the school. for another half year. No translation necessary. So the thing which I want to express is that it is not good to come to Krishna consciousness because you want to avoid the material nature, or because you want liberation, moksha. But it's because you should try to understand it's for serving Krishna's. So, now you might have heard, Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti has said that we should not associate with a devotee who's envious and proud and so on. What does this mean? Does it mean that now all the, let us say, all the devotees, let us say, I don't sleep in the same room with so-and-so. He is sometimes envious and sometimes proud. Or when there is prasadam, I don't sit next to so-and-so, who always wants to be number one on the Sankirtan list. Because he thinks sva slava mine. Yes. No, this is not right, and we should also not begin to look at Vaishnava. And what mode is Madan Gopal? Goodness, ignorance, or passion? Or, you know, we should not start looking like this. What we should do in devotional service, there is a difference between giving association and taking association. Giving association means, what are you doing there, Dhabi? No, it's all right, Moshe. Dhabi has totally different interests, I just see. and the and the more of when you give association, it means you try to elevate someone. You try to elevate someone. Yeah, but if you take association, you go to the platform of the other. So if you see that there is a Vaishnava who needs help, if you see that there is a Vaishnava who has these qualities, give positive information, give positive association, and try to elevate him to the other quality, to the higher platforms of devotional service, so that he doesn't have to say at the end of his life, Vanchita, Vanchita, Vanchita. Vanchita means I'm cheated. When you are in the modes of ignorance and passion, that means if you want to have, if you are proud and so on, and if you want to have your own benefit from spiritual life, just good things for yourself, you will be cheated. You will feel cheated. Because the real gifts and presence of Krishna consciousness are not material things. They are also not fame. They are lubav, love to Krishna, which can only manifest in the heart which is humble. We were speaking about this in our other seminar about surrender. Good. Let me just see how far we are. Okay, we are far enough. So, I wanted to speak to you just a little bit before ending about out what you what we should look for, or how we should make spiritual advancement. See, we all want, I think this is clear, we want to come out of mixed devotional service, we want to come to the platform of pure devotional service. Isn't it, David?
Good. David wants this.
So, what is a symptom of a devotee who is in pure devotional service? This is a very interesting question, isn't it? Who's not in this mixed, who, in other words, is not proud and envious, who doesn't want his own benefit, and who just doesn't want liberation. What is the prime symptom of such a devotee? It's an interesting question, isn't it? Marco?
Yes.
The question. It's not so easy, I must say. He's happy.
Very.
He's very happy. not just that. Yes, you could say so. Such a devotee. How does Krishna say in the Bhagavad Gita? Brahma Bhuta Prasanatma. Skala. Sama. Sudarshan. What has happened? You will get a garland. Yes. A devotee. Anyone else wants to try?
From the third verse of the Shikshastaka, Amanit Adamit.
What does this mean?
It means he's very humble.
Yeah.
Pridelessness.
He's prideless. Yes. Mm-hmm. What you have said are secondary symptoms. The prime symptom is the mind is at once attracted to hearing the transcendental name and qualities of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is residing in everyone's heart. 16. Just as the water of the Ganges flows naturally down towards the ocean, such devotional ecstasy, uninterrupted by any material condition, flows towards the Supreme Lord. A devotee who is out of the modes of material nature, his mind will immediately flow to Krishna. Always. Like the Ganga who goes to the ocean. Whereas the mind of the conditioned soul always spontaneously is attracted to material things, videos, good food, nice women, nice mush. The mind of a liberated soul is immediately attracted to Krishna. Oh, here's some talk of Krishna. We have heard that the devotee thinks when he sees another devotee, here is another devotee. He surely must know something about Krishna. Let me immediately go to him and say, can you tell me about Krishna? I want to hear. Not quite. And when he's always, in his mind always connects everything to Krishna. When he hears a Hare Krishna mantra, he cannot hear enough. He says, "What can I hear with two ears and one tongue?" Glupas. I would need millions of ears and millions of tongues to taste the nectar of the holy name. It's so sweet.
Another devotee thinks 16 rounds. Who can do?
Symptom is a devotee must engage in the service of the Lord 24 hours a day without cessation. His life is so molded that at every minute and every second he engages in some sort of devotional service to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. These are the symptoms of pure devotional service, which is free from all contamination of material nature. So, okay. This is how a devotee, how you will be, how you all will be one day. When you will be out of the modes of material nature. So nice. So good. Then the suffering of material existence has stopped. This is the process where we will get there. So, I will... Sudarshan has asked me if I could explain how to get there. But this will all be tomorrow. We have talked a little bit about association, but tomorrow we will hear more, because Krishna has spoken two Bhagavad Gitas, no, two Gitas, not Bhagavad Gitas. One is called the Bhagavad Gita, Kakayeshte, and the other is the Uddhava Gita. It's what he's, the Bhagavad Gita was spoken to Arjuna, and the Uddhava Gita to his dear devotee Uddhava. So tomorrow we will hear what advices Krishna gives Uddhava how to come to the transcendental platform. Good. I want to end here. Do you have any questions regarding this subject, Atma B?
For the devotee to come on the platform of some strong ruchi and attachment to Krishna and the spiritual master and holy name, is it must be overcoming the even the modes of goodness, or on the mode of goodness they start to develop ruchi?
Someone is in the mode of ignorance? Huh? Please? Loud? Please, hear!
Da bi Bhakta počeo da bi Bhakta počeo da razvija ruči, odnosno vezanost za Krišnu, za sveto ime i za duhovnog učitelja, da li je neophodno da nadižemo čak i uticaj gune vrline, ili na nivou gune vrline možemo da razvijemo?
Yes, if one develops strong attachment to Krishna, one even transcends the mode of goodness. Because, see, it was explained a little earlier that the mode of goodness, although it is conducive to Krishna consciousness, it's better than the other modes, still, this mode of goodness binds you to happiness, to your own happiness, your own satisfaction. But on a more advanced platform, you are no longer in this concept of I, me and mine, but you want to serve Krishna, want to be united in Krishna's service. Your identification with the body, and therefore with your own types of happiness, in other words, is no longer in existence. I wanted to just find for you this quote, Atma B, where Srila Prabhupada said that a devotee must come to the mode...
little mixed up here. Just give me one second. Here it is. It's okay. One, two, three. Yes. Srinivas, number 12, okay? Page 5. And then gradually. Gradually, one can change his position from ignorance to goodness or from passion to goodness. Oop, I want to... No, it's number 11. I'm really sorry. I made a mistake. Although there are these three modes of material nature, Atmabhi, if one is determined, he can be blessed by the mode of goodness, and by transcending the mode of goodness, he can be situated in pure goodness, which is called the Vasudev state, a state in which one can understand the science of God. See, this pure goodness of Vasudev state of consciousness, a very attractive state of consciousness. You know, the father of Krishna is called Vasudev. Yeah? Why? In a little while we will all celebrate Krishna's appearance day. And sometimes people ask, how did Krishna appear? Well, it is very interesting to shed a little light on this. It was foretold that the eighth child of Krishna, of Vasudev and Devaki, these are the parents of Krishna, would kill Kamsa. So Kamsa knew about this prophecy, and therefore he put Vasudev and his sister into the prison. And they had seven children. And after seven children, Kamsa was taking Devaki in one place of the prison. It was a huge prison. It was a royal prison, not just some Thailand prison or some Croatian prison or whatever, you know, some small, stinky prison. But it was a prison for kings. So Vasudev was about there, chained with iron chains to the wall, and Devaki was chained here. In other words, Kamsa thought, no, there won't be an eighth child, because they are not together, they cannot come together to have a child. This was his logic. They duped him. Krishna had another plan. What he did is, Krishna appeared in the pure state of consciousness of Vasudev in the mind. And from there, just like the rays of the sun, he was going into the mind of Devaki. And from the mind of Devaki, he went into the... What is it? Stomacho? And from there, you know, then he appeared from there. Also in a supernatural way. So, the important point here is that Krishna appeared in Vasudev's mind, because the mind was pure. It was above the modes of material nature. And therefore, it is said that the state in which Krishna appears in your consciousness must be also pure, above the states of material nature. So if you want to just understand a little bit, what is this Vasudev state of consciousness? How does it feel? You know, what is the feeling? Well, it is explained here in the Bhagavad Gita. O son of Prita, those who are... This is not in your papers, Srinivas. You have to translate it by hearing. Those who are not deluded, the great souls are under the protection of the divine nature. They are fully engaged in devotional service because they know me as the Supreme Personality of Godhead,
original and inexhaustible. These are not under the material energy, but under Krishna's spiritual energy. They know Krishna. What does such a devotee do? Always chanting my glories, endeavoring with great determination, bowing down before me, these great souls perpetually worship me with devotion. It's not in the modes. They're totally beyond. Yes?
Da li gune utiču i deluju samo iznutra ili deluju iz polja i iznutra?
He asked about the influence of the modes of nature. Are they acting from inside or also from outside? Both.
Both. It's all right. From outside, they work by material influences. Just imagine a man is in the Yugoslav Airlines next to a beautiful woman, and he sits there. She just looks very nice, very attractive, and he just feels Pojudu. What is it, Bert? Pojudu. Pojuda. So much Pojuda is coming. That means from outside there's an influence. But she may also be very lusty and also go like you know, for instance. So she may manifest some shakti, or she may do like you know, I don't know what they do, you know. I'm not so experienced in this. But it's also from inside. Sometimes one remembers things of the past, some lusty activity. So they come both from outside and inside. They're everywhere. The modes are in my ears and in my brain. Famous song in Krishna consciousness. Mokshe? So you must put Krishna in the brain, Varan Gopal, in the Shrita. Then the modes can't come from inside. And also when they come from outside, you don't feel them. Just like a duck. Patka. When the patka is in the water does not go inside the patka. The patka has this fat everywhere, isn't it? No problem for him. Good. Yes, please. I didn't understand, but
she asked when we chant Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, did we pray to Krishna for a service? Or we pray to get and understand Krishna by the service which we have already.
If we should do this like pray for Krishna to service, or well, first of all, the most important thing when you chant Hare Krishna is to hear with full attention. Don't think so much, don't pray so much, just hear. Because you might become diverted by your prayerful activities. Now, if you have, if you are hearing and the mantra is purifying your mind, it will be very natural that you cry out for Krishna for some service. And then if you do devotional service on such a platform with Krishna consciousness in your heart, you will realize Krishna more and more. It goes like this. But the more, it starts like this, the more you hear the chanting of the Hare Krishna mantra, the more you will want to serve Krishna. And the more you want to serve Krishna, the more Krishna will reveal himself to you. So it starts with hearing the Hare Krishna mantra, and from there other things come in a natural sequence. Mm-hmm. Okay? Mm-hmm. So we are coming to the end. Ooh, it's really, we are so late. I think I should stop here. Thank you very much for hearing. Come back tomorrow morning if possible.
Hare Krishna.
Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Sisi Gauri ki jai.